still are going to be among a small group of people who is going to know of an event that's going to take place in a couple of weeks' time. There's an event, and the thing about these events is that when you know the scriptures, then you're always looking. And Jesus spoke about the last days. He spoke about different events to be looking for. One of the events he spoke about was the signs and the sun and the moon and the stars. And on the 8th of April, if you're in Jerusalem and you look east, you're going to see an event that never happened like before. And when it happens in its completeness, it will not happen again for 32 million years. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
What did Jesus say? Look up, look to stars. In Luke 21, he says of the greatest signs from heaven. And he talks about there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and in the stars. And there's other events going on in the celestial area at the moment as well. But if you go to Jerusalem and you're there on the 8th of April and you look to the east, you're going to see seven planets in alignment, not behind each other, but right across the sky, plus the sun and the moon. That's something nobody's seen before. It's going to happen on the 8th of April. You have to be in Jerusalem and you'll be looking for a clear sky. And who comes from the east?
Yeshua.
The Lord comes from the east. So here you have an event. And in the context of this event, Jesus also talks, and the scriptures also teach, that the Jewish people have to be back in their homeland, and they must be in Jerusalem, because that's where Jesus is coming back. The scriptures also teaches in these last days that the river Euphrates is going to dry up. If anybody's been following the news, you know the river Euphrates. So when we talk about this event, which is a one-off event, very few people know about it. Very few Christians know about it. But if you're reading the Word of God and you're looking, you're living in the days of this event. And Jesus spoke, and he told us these things. That you look to the heavens, you're going to see things in the heavens I've never seen before. And so that's happening in the 8th of April. In the interim, there's also other things happening in the sky. There's a number of planets lining up down about the present time. And there's also an eclipse that's going to be happening. More people know about the eclipse, because the eclipse is not so unique, because you can go back a couple of hundred years for the last time that this happened. But in 2017, there was an eclipse. And that eclipse covered America, coming from basically California down. This eclipse this year is going to come up through Texas and go straight up towards Canada. Now, if anybody who knows about seven, you know the number seven is God's number, and everything is done in sevens. All the feasts, all the different things. You've got 7 days, 7 weeks, 7 years. Jesus, when the disciples asked, no, should we forgive seven times? He said, oh, seven times seven. You know, so seven is always God's number. But the thing about this eclipse, you know, one of the first places it's going to go over is a place called Jonah. Now, you can't make that up. And then after that, it's going to go across seven places named Nineveh. And then it's going to intersect in Illinois at a place called Little Egypt. Now, Little Egypt is an interesting place because in that area is a huge cross on the hillside. But Little Egypt lies in a fault line, and that fault line goes down the whole of America. And I remember, it's a good few years ago now, Pastor Kilpatrick, John Kilpatrick, God gave him a vision. And God gave him that vision, and he saw this fault line opening up. And so the word of the Lord, which many have been spoken for many years, is that when America puts pressure to divide Israel, the land of America is going to split. You split my land, your land's going to be split. So you've got all these signs going at the same time. And when you get to this cross point, that is the first of a new day and a new year in Israel. So all of these things are coming together. And when I was thinking about what do you call this message today, I was thinking, forewarned is forearmed. Forewarned is forearmed. And then we changed it slightly. So that is the background to what I'm going to speak about today. You've got to know all these things are happening. And we go to the Gospel of John. And I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of John, from verse 27 through to verse 73. And this is Jesus. He says, "Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this world. Father, glorify thy name." Then came a voice from heaven, saying, "I have both glorified it, and will glorify it again." The people therefore that stood by and heard it, said that it thundered. Others said, "An angel spake to him." And Jesus answered and said, "This voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now it is the judgment of the world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Then he said, second time, what death he should die. An interesting portion of scripture. Speaking to the disciples. And Jesus is troubled because he knows that his days on earth are short. He knows he's heading towards Jerusalem. He knows what is going to take place in Jerusalem. He knows he's going to be crucified. But the full extent of what he's going to suffer is revealed to him in the Garden of Gethsemane. So that when Jesus goes to the cross, he's not going ignorantly. He is not going in darkness. He knows what is before him. For everything is revealed. And he says, "Nevertheless, Father, not my will be done, but your will be done." And so Jesus goes to the cross. And of course the scripture down here says, "And if I be lifted up." So he's talking about his crucifixion. I am going to be lifted up. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. But he gives in between, he gives what the world is judged, and the prince of this world shall be judged. Now, the scriptures here say Jesus, the voice came from heaven. It's amazing because when you go through scripture, it's amazing how many times the voice comes from heaven and the one circumstance it comes to. You can read in Samuel about the voice of God. But the first time you read the phrase, "the voice from heaven came to Nebuchadnezzar." God spoke to Nebuchadnezzar, saying, "Your kingdom is departed from you." The voice came from heaven. The ones that we more commonly know It's like Matthew 3:17 at the River Jordan. And the voice comes from heaven. This is my beloved Son. Matthew 17:5, we have the Transfiguration. And in the Transfiguration, there's Peter, there's James, there's John, the close disciples of the Lord are there. And Peter makes reference to the voice from heaven. Because in his epistle, he recalls the event when the Lord said, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." And Peter, when he writes, he said, "But we have not followed cunningly devised fables, where we made unto you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty." And Peter's saying, what we have been preaching to you, what we have been telling you, is not fables, but we are telling you the power of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've seen it with our own eyes. We've seen him being transfigured before us. We heard the voice from heaven. We see what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back again. And so he goes on to say, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount." The voice of God. Apostle Paul, we know his story. The Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus, and the light from heaven. So the voice from heaven, the voice of God speaking to people for different circumstances. And Jesus here in this passage of Scripture is saying, that voice came for your benefit. That wasn't to a single person this time. It wasn't for just a small group, it was for all the people around Jesus when he came to the tomb of Lazarus and all the signs that followed. He said, this voice that came from him, he said, that was for you too, so that you will know. So that you will know. And the great thing about the Gospel of John, he said, these things are written that you might know the truth. That you might know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That you might know that he is the promised Messiah. And so, this passage of Scripture talks about the voice that came. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 12 says, "See that you refuse not him that speaks. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." And so the Scriptures tell us, you refuse the voice of him who comes and speaks the words of eternal life. So if you refuse him, how much more the voice that comes from heaven and the pedal that you will be in. Remember what the Scripture says, how shall you escape so great a salvation if you turn aside and ignore the voice of God and don't follow the words of Jesus Christ. If you neglect the words of God which were spoken by the Lord in the beginning. Now the people in the wilderness whom the Scripture talks about, they had a great encounter with the Lord God. Exodus 19:18 says, "And Mount Sinai was covered with smoke, because the Lord descended on it in fire. The smoke billowed up from it like smoke from a furnace, and the whole mountain trembled violently." And we know the story in the wilderness. The people had the opportunity to come near to God, and they didn't want to come near. They said, "Not us, Moses. You go, we'll just be behind. You go into the glory, we'll just stay back." But they saw what happened on the mountain when God came down. And the tragedy is that the people who saw it were the people who perished in the wilderness. They didn't listen to the voice that came from heaven. But here we come to verse 31. two things to notice about verse 31 in John. Now is the judgment of this world. So the judgment of this world is coming because I'm going to be lifted up and I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be given my life a ransom for many. I'm going to become sin who knew no sin. I'm going to take all the wickedness of this world. Now is this world judged. The other part says, now shall the prince of this world be cast out. Now shall he be cast out. So what the scripture is saying, now shall, is future. He shall be cast out. But see, it's also very prophetic. It says the prince of this world. Where do you go to find the prince of this world? To find the prince of this world, you have to go back to the book of Daniel, don't you? In Daniel 9:25 and verse 26, in these two scriptures, you get the comparison of Messiah, the prince of Israel, as opposed to the prince of the people that shall come. You have the Lord, but you have Satan. And the Bible tells us in Ezekiel chapter 28, it gives us a glimpse of this prince to come. His power, his authority, his ambitions. In Ezekiel 28, we read they've been in the Garden of Eden. Starting from verse 12. This prince has been in places that none of us have ever been in. He's been in a place where we could only imagine what like it is. But he has been in the Garden of Eden. He was the anointed cherub. He was cast out of the mountain of God. And in verse 17, he was cast to the ground. And this anointed cherub, the Bible tells us in Job, he is the king over all the children of pride. The king over all the children of pride. He is the one who was the anointed cherub. And he was the one. And the Bible tells us how he was made, how he had tablets built into him, how he was over the throne of God, leading the worship of heaven. And he was in this place highly exalted. And from this place of being highly exalted, he is not only losing position, he is losing authority. In verse 17 said he was cast to the ground. Well, he's not cast to the ground yet. That's to come. The Bible talks about the cherubs. And Satan was one of them, but he was the anointed cherub above them all. And they were the ones who supported the throne of God. They were the ones, the Bible talks about God riding in the chariot of his seraphims, the cherubims. And the various actions are represented in the book of Ezekiel, and especially the function bearers of the throne of Yahweh. They were protectors of the throne, and they were around the throne. And if you want to know some further things about them, we covered cherubs not so long ago, so you can. But the Bible just gives us quite a lot of things about them, but I want to go on to about the anointed cherub. He was in such a great place of privilege and honour. And outside of Christ, and he had the most power. And he lost that power. And the Bible says there in Ezekiel, he was cast to the ground. As we say, the first mention of him is in the Garden of Eden, where he comes as a serpent to tempt Eve. And he's always identified forever, because when he comes, he always questions God's word. How do you know when you've been tempted by Satan? He always questions God's word. He will add to it, he will subtract to it. He will always question. That is his mark from the beginning, and it will always be. So the one who is closest to the throne seeks to have the worship that belongs to God. He is the one who comes and looks for the worship of men. He's the one who comes to bring confusion into worship. That confusion happened to the children of Israel in the wilderness, when after they saw all the miracles of God, they made a golden calf and then worshipped it. The confusion, the darkness that was brought in. But the Bible says here in John 12:31, now shall the prince of Israel be cast out. So let's look just exactly what the scriptures tell us. And to understand this, let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:2. And this is an experience that the Apostle Paul had. He said, I knew a man in Christ. He's really talking about himself. About 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knows. Such a one caught up to the third heaven. So Paul tells us there's more than one heaven. He was caught up to the third heaven. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 102, verse 25, it says, of old has thou laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thy hands. And so the Apostle Paul is caught up to the third heaven. In the third heaven, we have this anointed cherub over the throne of God. And when Ezekiel said he was cast to the ground, that is prophecy, because he's going to be cast to the ground, but he's not cast to the ground yet. Because there's five stages in the fall of Satan. The first stage, he is cast out of the third heaven to the second heaven. He is taken and he is cast out from the mounts of the north, Zion. He is taken and he is cast out so he's no longer around the throne of God. And he's cast out of the third heaven to the second heaven. And we can see that in Ezekiel 28:16, which we've just read. And the times of this rebellion are reflected in the beginning of Genesis. Because Genesis describes a condition of the earth, which was void, which had been destroyed, which was black. And so the Bible is really telling us that it has been an event that has caused lots of major change in this earth that we're living in today. And of course, if we go to Jeremiah 4:23, chapter 4, verse 23, he speaks how a catastrophe that happened. Now, when you look at that verse of scripture, there's only two ways you can interpret it. You're either saying that is an event in the past, or that is an event still to come in the future. But one of the things which we do know is that God never creates anything which is bland or which is just void, which is nothing. God is a creative God. So we can know that the first falling of Satan, when he is cast down from that place of being the anointed cherub around the throne of God, is taking place around about that time or before the creation of the earth, or what we know in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And so Satan lost his authority in the third heaven. And so he's cast to the second heaven. And when he's cast to the second heaven, remember the snow day the disciples came to Jesus. And they're saying, Lord, Lord, everywhere we go, in your name, the devils flee. We cast out devils in your name. There's power in your name, Jesus. And they're all excited. And then Jesus, what he does so often is he turned the conversation totally different. And he said to them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Satan fell from the second heaven to the first heaven. And Ezekiel said, Satan is cast to the earth. The next fall of Satan is when he is cast to this earth. At present he reigns as a god of this world. He's the God of this world. And the stage is set. Because as the days draw closer and the words of Jesus get fulfilled, watching the signs in the heavens, seeing all the things that are taking place around the earth, he's talking about the soon coming back to earth again. And before he can come back to earth again, there's one thing that has to happen. Satan has to be cast to the ground. And that's why we know he then incarnated, he becomes what we would talk about, the Antichrist. Just as Jesus became God in the flesh, you're going to have the imitation of this fallen angel, this anointed cherub, imitating and being cast to the ground. And we can read about that. But after he comes, Revelation 20 tells us he is going to be cast into the bottomless pit. And after 1,000 years, after the millennium, he's going to be loose for a small time, and then he is going to be cast into the lake of fire. Going from the third heaven to the second heaven, the first heaven, the earth, the bottomless pit, the lake of fire. That is his journey. And the journey that he takes, somebody had a journey like that, but in a different sense. Remember Jonah, he went down to Joppa, he went down into the ship, he went down into the sea, down into the veil of the belly of the whale. And then he talks about being in hell, but he was raised up. And Jesus used him as an example of what Jesus was going to do. But Satan is not going to be raised up. He is for eternally going to be in the lake of fire. And so, as we come and as we look at this, God has prepared the lake of fire for the devil and his angels. But God has come to us and said, see that voice from heaven? And that voice also you heard on earth, it says, it's now time to listen carefully and to bring your life into alignment with what he is saying. For the days and the times are starting to close and get narrower and narrower. And the Bible says these things are written so that you will not be deceived when these events take place. And that is why when we look at what is going to take place in the skies, in the heavens, with the planets, the suns, and the moon, an event that has never, ever taken place. And if this planet in this world continues for at least over 30 million years, you might see it again. A one-off event. And Jesus says, when you see these things, when you see these things, then start to look up. Start to get your life in order. Mm-hmm. You maybe like your careers, you maybe like all the different things. Things are changing quick. That way that life used to be that you're going can easily just change like that. Because the forces of darkness and the forces of God are clashing, and that battle is going to intense and get more intensive. And so we are called to walk in truth and in righteousness. And as we follow the Lord, as we obey his word, as we are in his will and in his purposes, Psalm 91 can tell you, people who walk your left hand side, walk your right hand side, with God protection. We are here to proclaim the truth of God's word. And people are walking in ignorance because they don't know the scriptures. They're walking in ignorance because they don't know what is in the scriptures. Think of Satan himself. Who thought that he could exalt himself above the living God? Think of Judas Iscariot. The scriptures wrote about him. He could have went and read all about himself instead of being so dumb and blind and so ambitious to have wealth and great. Don't let things cloud your vision. This is a time to have clear vision. It's a time to make sure you're walking in righteousness and in truth. And you need to know your times, which nobody has been in before. Because these are the times where kingdoms are clashing, and you have to know whose side you're on. And you have to know who sustains you, and who upholds you, and who keeps you. And the one who sustains you and keeps you is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So today, as we see these things happening, and you experience this one-off event in your lifetime, know it that Jesus told you it was going to come. He told you, look in the sky, look at the sun, look at the moon. He said, you'll see things nobody's ever saw before. So as we come into these days and we see these things happening, what we're saying is that we know that our redemption is always nigh. We know that Jesus is coming soon. And we know that the Word of God stands forever. You want to know what's coming? The Word of God has it there, black and white. So let's not be ignorant of the Word of God. And let's not be pursuing those things which are irrelevant to our walk with the Lord. The Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Yeah. This is a time above any other time to be walking, seeking his righteousness. And walking close to the Lord. And not straying to the left or to the right. Let's just pray.